Hello and welcome to the Trading College podcast, where we look to bring you some of the most thought-provoking ideas about trading and what you could do to improve your trading.
Hi guys, Raj here and the rest of the Trading College team. Hello guys, how are you?
Hi guys.
Hi.
So in this episode of the podcast, what I'm basically going to be asking the coaches is what was their personal hardest point of trading? What did they find like really hard? What did they struggle to get over? And then conversely, I'm also going to ask them what their kind of aha moment was. What was the point where it switched around for them and it really made sense for them? Because we've recently had some students that I've been talking to about this that have turned a corner. So I thought I'd ask the coaches as well. So first of all, I want to start with Mayan because she was obviously on my mentorship. So hopefully I'll get some glowing references. How's it going, Mayan? How's trading going?
Not bad at all. Can't complain, Raj.
Good, good. How's trading going?
Good, good, yeah.
Good.
Slow, steady, ticking over nicely.
That's nice. And so if you can then, when you first started trading, because I know you did the SDA qualifications before you did the Trading College course. So yes. What was the hardest part? What did you struggle with the most when you first started trading or just in general?
Right. What I struggled with most was the wrong belief that the market was actually a person and that the market was against me. Wow. And that the market had something that it felt I wanted to take away from it. And so it was guarding it with all its, you know, with its life. I felt the market was actually actively against me.
Wow, that's so interesting. That's super interesting. Do you know, today we had the CPI print, right?
Yeah.
And because it was very volatile, I actually had a call from a student after was saying, like, do you think that the brokers like hunt our stops? He was convinced. Yeah. You know, is that the kind of thing that you're talking about?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Did any of you guys have a similar experience, Oshin and James?
Not so much, no. I always thought the market was against me when I first started trading. It seemed to knock me out of all my trades before I'd see it to go on to hit my target.
Wow.
But that was a massive mindset thing. It was completely me. I used to tighten up my stop as close as I could possibly get it.
Yeah.
To take as much profit because I needed the money, right? I wanted the money. And it wasn't really until I learned to put my stop in the right place and leave the trade alone.
Yeah, that's why I find it's very interesting that the most volatile markets are the most popular because they're the ones where that's likely, right?
Of course, but because they move well, people want to start trading them straight away. And if you're green to trading, just stay away from them just for now.
Yeah.
And do major FX by all means, but... really stay away from Dow Jones, DAX,
oil.
But they're the markets we all trade every day, right?
Yeah, I mean, because they're the ones that you're going to get the most profit from on a daily basis, aren't they?
Yeah, but don't go into trading thinking you can trade those markets straight away.
Yeah, definitely. What about you, Oshin? Did you feel the same way?
Yeah, I think it's sort of like a similar sort of subject, but so I think we're all coming at it a slightly different way. So I think mine was more, the market might be against you, but learning to trust the probability of it, because I think because I came to trading not knowing anything about it. And so when you come from that and you think of a trading strategy, you sort of, in your head, you've got this idea of something that's going to win 100% of the time.
Yeah.
Whereas it's never, ever going to be that. And it's sort of learning that you've got to accept a loss every now and again. I think it took me a while to be able to do that.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's probably a good thing to do now to kind of discuss what the markets actually are, right? Because like when I read a book by Dalton, Jay Dalton, I don't know if you guys have ever read this book, but it's basically about market mechanics. So that you've got day traders, you've got swing traders and you've got position traders. And then you've got like pension funds, like massive, massive things, right? So in any given day, there are going to be different people that are in control of the market. There are going to be different people waiting for different things, right? Now, like if we're in a position in, let's say, for example, Apple or whatever, now we will never know if a massive hedge fund all of a sudden wants to release all of their positions in Apple. We're never going to know that, right? So if we think about the market dynamics and what the markets are made of and what type of traders there are in the market, obviously the big guns, you know, are going to have the ability to move the market more than anybody else. And we're talking like pension funds here, you know, if they all of a sudden decide that they want to go long interest rates, you know, and they're moving into the dollar to buy it, the dollar's going to move, right? We can't do anything about that. So it's not a single person and it's not a broker. Like, this is what I find so funny. Like, why would a broker care about like a £50 spread bet? They're not going to give a shit, are they? Like, if we're honest with ourselves,
they're not even going to look at it.
And I know I just swore on the podcast. Sorry, guys. yeah, but they're not. They're really not going to be bothered by it. So I think if people feel personally attacked by what's going on in the market, they're completely wrong. Like, this is made up of a multitude of different kinds of traders, different time horizons, different size accounts. You know what I mean? Like different reasons for trading, you know, like there are so many different things. So Mayan, how did you get over it?
Right. It was when I finally realized that the market actually was an inanimate entity. It wasn't people. It was price movement. That's all. That was a light bulb moment that nobody was after me and that it was up to me to decide my terms of engagement.
Yeah.
With the market. That was a light bulb moment for me.
Do you know what's good about that there is because then you're actually realizing that you don't have control.
Yes. Yes.
That's what I took from that, because like at the end of the day, like, you know, I always use handbags or jackets or shoes. I don't know why, like I must really love fashion, but like, if, for example, the prices of those things are just going up and up and up, we have no, as consumers, we have no control over that.
Mm.
Same with the market, right? We have no control over something going up and up and up. If it's going up, it's going up. We just have to decide whether we can run with it or not and how much risk we want to put in, right?
Yes.
Yep.
So yeah, that's a good point. So you realized it wasn't an inanimate object and, you know, it just did what it wanted to do with that, regardless.
That's it. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. And okay. So that's quite good. And then go on then, James, what was your toughest hurdle to overcome? What did you really struggle with when you traded? Or
my first struggles were, as I say, putting the stops in the right position and letting trades run.
Yeah.
So to overcome it, I dropped my position size and put my stop in the right place. Still used. I was using 0.5% of my account at the time back then, but then I started winning trades, and the market was going where our systems tell it as it was going.
Mm-hmm.
I was getting. I don't think I was getting 7 out of 10 back then, but probably definitely 6 out of 10.
Yeah.
And then I started scaling up and defining my entry. I've now got a rigid set of rules. I don't care what the market's doing. It can go up, down, sideways, whatever it wants to do.
Good.
But if I see my setup, I'm taking it. I'm just pressing the button.
Yeah.
And that, for me, was my light bulb moment. I had to do it. I still have to trade in groups of 20. So I trade 20 trades at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Not all together, obviously, but 20 separate trades. And I revisit those 20 trades.
So I'm going to ask you a question now. Like, were you really trigger happy at the beginning? Because you've talked about these rules and you were defining these rules. Were you just like super trigger happy?
I was really trigger happy. I love the 5-minute chart. I even went down to the 2-minute chart for a little while.
Yeah.
But because my stops weren't right, I was losing time and time again. When I put my rules into place, and it took me a while. It took me 3 or 4 months to put my rules into place.
Yeah.
I started winning my trades. And then I could scale up and then obviously leave my job and become a full-time trader.
Nice. Okay. That's really interesting. And then what about you, Oshin? What was the toughest thing for you?
Yeah, I think, well, it was sort of like what we were talking about before, like the losing trades, but not like you're not a bad trader if you lose trades, because you just have to learn that it's sort of part of the course of it and it's going to happen.
All right. So, I know you know the answer to this, but what's the issue with losing trades? Why do people struggle with it? What is it?
Well, you don't want to see yourself losing money, do you? You don't want to see the account going down, even if it's just temporary.
So do you consider yourself to be egotistical or not? Like being wrong? Do you mind being wrong?
It's got easier to be wrong.
Look how he ducked the question, look.
that's definitely ducking out the question.
It is. So you do realize that all of us are different personality profile types. So Mayan, what's your personality profile?
I is the highest. It's ISC. Yeah. 40, 35, 25.
So you're high S as well, right? So yes. The thing is about, like, when we do these personality profiles, S seems feel take things really personally. So when your answer to your question, it was a personal thing. You felt like, the market's against me or something like that.
Yes.
And then option, what's your personality profile type?
Yeah, S&C.
S&C, yeah. So you as well, your C personality profile, you know, I think really, really kicked into gear there, because it was really about, you know, the statistics of right versus wrong and trying to have high statistics. And then James, yours, what's your
mine to begin with was very high D.
Yep.
Very low S.
And then the second one?
About equal on all of them. So 26, 26, 24, 24. I can't remember what way round it was.
Well, that's still it's marginal, isn't it?
Yeah, it's nothing. But it's really a case of now I don't care. I see the trade. I press the button.
So D style traders are supposed to be trigger happy. So you've tempered that down.
I was trigger happy.
Okay.
Not a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah, it's amazing how accurate these things are. Like, I've done, now I'm going into the 200-300s of these personality profiles.
Yeah.
And, like, it's amazing how accurate they are. Like, for me personally, I found two things really hard. So the first thing is I was trading the wrong market. I was really stubborn. I really thought, you know, I had an ego as well. So I really wanted to crack the FX market. I worked in the FX market for like 6-7 years. And I thought, I'm going to conquer this market. I'm going to know everything about it. And then when I switched over to employ the same strategy in stocks, I started making money. So that was the first thing that that I found really hard. The other thing is a typical I personality thing. Like, I always and always have done, just tinkered with my strategies and over optimized them and tried to add things to them and add things to them and add things to them. I don't know. It's a killer, that is.
Yeah. Because you're tweaking the outcome before you actually take the trade.
Yeah,
it didn't make a blind bit of difference to the strategies, actually. No. I don't even know why I was doing it. Just adding rules for the sake of adding rules.
Yes.
Yeah. And suddenly you add so many rules, you can't take the trade.
Yeah, and it was funny. Absolutely. Like, when I was learning technical analysis from the STA, we got, like, you guys have all done it. So, like, we got all of these tools, right? So, like, trend line, support and resistance, indicators, chart type, you know, Elliott Wave, GAN theory. So what I started to do before I joined trading college, I basically put together a worksheet, and I was like, okay, the more confluence events that line up and get in the same direction, the more likely that the trade was going to work. But with my journaling, I realized that wasn't the case. The ones which lined up the most weren't working, and I was like perplexed. I was really confused at the beginning when I did that.
It's probably because when they're all lining up the most, it's probably coming to the end of the move, and it needs a retracement before it goes again.
Yeah, fair enough.
I think a lot of people fail there because they can't live through that pullback. Because that pullback, it means they were wrong in the first place.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that fear of being wrong on that pullback, isn't it? It hits you in the heart, doesn't it? Like, when people take a trade and the market just pulls back straight away.
It definitely does. And what I've got a lot of a problem with some of my students with now is the market will pull against them. It won't stop them out. But when it's going with them, because they'd rather be risk off and have nothing in the market, a break even, they'll pull up the trade.
Yeah.
And they'll think, oh, thank God for that, I'm out of the trade. It's just the sweet spot to get in it. But listen, we've all done it.
Yeah, I've done it.
Yeah,
that's what I say. I think the most common problem that I have upon probably, you know, I'd say 60% of the students is patience. And there's two types of patience. There's one when you're in a trade, and there's one waiting for your specific setup, isn't there? Like, people think, oh, the earlier they get, the less risk they have to use. You know what I mean? Or, like, but it skews the statistics so much.
Yeah, it really does.
Yeah, that's a tricky one. And then the other one, like you said, with your rules, I think if they feel like if they're not trading, they're not doing anything.
Yeah, not trading is still protecting your account, though. That's the way people need to see it. Not trading is protecting your account. If you haven't got a setup, you cannot trade. You can't force the market to do something that you can't force the market to do. Yeah. The market's going to do whatever it wants to do when it wants to do it.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Man, have you had any tough ones, a constant thing from your students or anything like that?
It's that not being able to wait for the setup to come and like that need to trade all the time, trading out of boredom. And so that causes problems. You jump the gun and they get it before the trade sets up.
Yeah.
Simply because they are bored and they feel they've got to do something all the time.
That was funny. All of us nodded when you said trading out of boredom. So what do you tell them? What do you tell them if you think that that's an issue?
Sit on your hands, because less is more.
Mm.
That is what we always say. Less is more.
I think it's very difficult to sit in front of a computer and sit on your hands when you can see a market moving. Mm. And I think as a new trader, people want to just automatically, they're in this to learn, right, and make some money. They automatically want to jump in without signals. Just wait for the signals. Just wait for your signals.
Yeah.
Because you can backtest signals. You can't backtest impulse.
Yeah, exactly. But I think this has a lot to do with the preconceptions of what people think a trader is before they actually start trading. You know what I mean? So like Austin, like when you thought about being a trader before you actually worked out what it took to be successful, what were your preconceptions of it?
It was that thing of I thought you'd just be sitting down and like making money straight away. You'd be firing, you'd be placing trades all the time. You'd have like 10, 15 trades on at a time. And you'd be like, a lot crazier than it actually is.
Yeah, it's really serene, isn't it? It's quite calm.
Yeah. I think a lot of the time you're trying to look for things to do like whilst you're waiting for the trades to play out.
Yeah.
It's more the opposite. You're trying to like fill the time rather than, because you think that you're going to have stuff to do all the time, but it's the other way around.
Yeah, I battled between day trading and swing trading. And then when I started making good money swing trading, that is so boring. I'll be the first one to admit to everyone, like it's bloody boring, but you've got two sides of it being boring. Do you want to make money not doing any work? Yeah, so that's one side of it being boring, which is really nice. But then the other side is that like you get this thing where the day traders around you are making money every day and losing money every day, and you're hearing about it all the time, while you've just been sitting in a position for like 3-4 weeks, like just waiting for it to finish. So there are good and bad points to it. I will be the first to suggest that. But you know, that was a very important point that you mentioned just there. I'm not sure, like you guys both have actually, the three of you can, you do both, don't you? You day trade and swing trade.
Yes.
Yeah. What one are you most comfortable with, May? And what do you like?
I must say, swing trading I'm more comfortable with. I think I'm just addicted to that. To those four-hour momentum triggers, probably your fault, Raj.
Yeah.
I'm just addicted to it, so I find swing trading more comfortable than day trading. Really, day trading is fun. It's good. It's quick. It's sharp.
Yeah.
It's smash and grab, and that's it. But I think my heart lies with swing trading.
What about you, Ashen?
I don't know. I think if you would have, I think it's sort of like something that for me is sort of evolving all the time. I think if you'd asked me like 3 months ago, I'd said day trading 100%.
Yeah.
But the more I trade, the more I'm enjoying, like the more relaxed I just, even if it's like going down to the hourly chart instead of the 5 minutes, just like an hourly momentum trigger or something. I just love that. Like it just gives you a bit more time. So it's like in between, I guess.
So what's swaying you over then? What's from being a day trader and earning money on a daily basis, what's swaying you now? What would you say?
I think it's just this thing of, because the time frames that I'm sort of looking at the moment, they're sort of like these in-between time frames.
Yeah.
And so from that, you can still make good money, but it's even less work. So
yeah.
That's what I'm enjoying at the moment. It's like, seems to be that sweet spot. So you can still do stuff in the day and you've still got things to be looking at and analyzing, but then you're not having to focus on the charts and checking it every 5 minutes.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, what about you, James? Because you're predominantly a day trader, but I know you can swing trade. So
I'm a day trader, but I'm always looking for the bigger move. So I'm always looking for my daily bias. Generally enter on a 5-minute chart. with my setup. But if the daily then is in line with the monthly, I'm leaving a piece on. So I've had my day's money out the trade and I'm leaving a piece on for a swing trade.
Yeah. So then, do you know, I've got a question about this. So the stops then, because your entry has been on a 5 minute chart and that trade has gone well. Yeah.
If I'm looking for, I know what you're going to ask me. You're going to ask me if I move my stops.
How do you manage it? Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No, I get 2-1 on my bank, 50% of my money generally. Okay. So I'm in a risk-free position anyway, even if it goes against me, I'm risk off and just let it run.
Ah,
it knocks me out. It knocks me out. But if it doesn't, it pays so well.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I've got a problem staying in trades for more than a fortnight, 3 weeks.
Yeah.
I just rather take my money and go back to day trading and get another big move.
Yeah. Well,
I shouldn't really. So I've got to work on myself doing that. So we're always evolving. We're always working on ourselves.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely. So the next questions I have to go around the circle is kind of like the turning point, the light bulb moment, the aha moment. Like that's a really big thing. So I'll do mine at the end. But go on. So if we can go around, we'll start because we finished with you, James. So we'll start with you this time. So what was the point in where the light bulb just turned on and you were thinking, yeah, I think I'll crack this one.
I don't think it was just one moment.
Mm-hmm.
I think the placement of my stops was massive because the strategy is just the strategy. It's, you know, is either on one of the strategies, is either a red candlestick or a green one.
Yeah.
It's not huge. It's where I put my stops. And when I started winning my trades and getting the confidence and starting to up my position size and becoming more involved in it.
Yeah.
And at that point, I thought, yes, I can do this. I can do this full time. I can make a living out of this. So that for me was massive.
Now that makes sense. I'm writing something down because you reminded me. Okay. Now that's a good one. Yeah. So it's a bit of blind faith, wasn't it?
It was a little bit because we all back test, right? We all know what results we should be getting. And we all know that for the first month of live trading, you probably don't get the same sort of results because you're tweaking.
Yeah,
and you shouldn't really tweak. You see the signal, you take the entry. You see the signal, you take the entry. Make it no more difficult than that.
Yeah.
Stop in the right place, go for the move, and make sure you've got risk-reward on every trade.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Yeah, I think if you don't know when you're taking your money, that's, you know what I mean? That's a tough one, isn't it?
Yeah, before I put a trade on, I know where my target is.
Mm.
Definitely. Yeah. Know where my stop is, know where my target is.
Yeah.
And if I walk away from the computer, I'll just let it go on. Let it go.
Yeah, definitely. Go on then, Oshin. What about you? Your light bulb moment.
I think James already mentioned it, but it's such a C analytical answer. But it was hours of backtesting.
Wow.
Because I think for me it was just because we were talking about like the knowing that you are going to lose some trades.
Yeah.
And it was just seeing that repeated over and over so that each time it happened, I could like just take a step back and know, and yeah, just say to myself, like, I know that's going to happen and that's fine. That's part of the process. And it was all the backtesting because you get to see that playing out. So that was important for me.
So you had a variance of knowing you're right and wrong. Did you ever think in your, when you were doing your back testing, how your maximum drawdown would be? So like how many consecutive trades you could get wrong in a row? Did you ever look at that when you were doing it?
Yeah. I think I sort of went over the top with back testing and added in all sorts of like different columns and things. So yeah, so that was one thing that I looked at. If I noticed that there was quite a few losses in a row, then I'd make a note at the end of that sample, like what the biggest drawdown you'd have is and stuff like that. Yeah.
I think with the rise of automation and like the Trading College bot and stuff like that, you must have like proper geeked out on that.
Yeah, no, yeah. When that came out, I was all over that, yeah.
Because when I worked in the city, we had, you know, we had a Bloomberg terminal and a few other things, and we had automated back testing that we could use on it. Oh, mate, the day I found that out, it was like Christmas. I'm not even a C personality, but my job was to stress test systems. So, like, oh, my God, like I used to put every indicator in there, MACDs, RSIs, moving averages, and I tested them all, like, to see which was the most viable. And I think on with Mayan, when we did the STA course, on my lecture, I always said to everyone, like, whatever you get taught, back test it 100 times on 4 different timeframes. because you're then going to know whether this is going to work for you or not, you know? So go on then, Mayan. What was your aha moment, your light bulb moment?
Right. Okay. I think it was courtesy of you, right? After weeks and weeks and months and thousands of hours of back testing, I then realized that the strategies actually work, and I could work out like the maximum number of losses in a row. Yeah. And then the next thing was leaving the trade alone to play out and not messing with the trade.
Yeah.
That was where going to work was a blessing.
Yeah.
Because I set the orders up, set the trade up, shut the computer and go to work. And then I wouldn't be able to look at it until it was night. But any day I say I had a day off, that was not a good day because I'd mess with the trade. I'd want to tweak things here and there, and I'd end up messing it up. So yes, between the back testing and realizing that the trades did better if I left them alone.
Yeah. That's a really good point. That's a really, really good point. I remember as well. So there were times I remember, like, for those who don't know, Mayan had a very professional job, and like she was called away from sessions. We were in sessions, and like I would hear this kerfuffle in the background and be like, oh, I've got to leave now. And then she'd come back and tell me what happened later on. Like it was really interesting. And I really, I know it helped. I definitely know that it helped having trades running in the background and you being distracted and stuff. And I think that's hard for a lot of people to take, the fact that you can just leave a trade on and you don't have to care about it. You know, that's a tricky thing to know. So that brings me on to my point, right? So I've had a few people where, you know, ignorance is bliss sometimes, right? So especially in trading, but when somebody learns something and they're very intelligent, so I think all of you in this room, apart from James, I'm joking, we're all, like, you know, without saying it, like, you're all very smart. So when you get to a point where you learn a lot and you've got a lot of things to implement, you have to purposely dumb yourself down for something to work. That is tricky. That I find it hard, like, because through academia and through people's jobs, everybody thinks that the harder they work, the more money they're going to earn.
It's simply not the case.
No, it's crazy. This is the only job I can think of that's different. I can't think of another job where you work, you learn something, you put all your hard work in at the beginning, and then the less you do, you earn more money. I can't think of another job like that, and it's really, really strange. So when I get people who are, like, very, very, come from very professional backgrounds, they're really smart, and I can see them learning a lot, and then I say to them, okay, well, you spent 12 months on this course learning all of this stuff, choose your favorite and just stick to that. Then they struggle with just sticking to that because they've learned so much else, and they're thinking, well, why am I ignoring everything else? You know what I mean? That's a hard thing as a coach, I think.
Because you have a head full of shit. Sorry, forgive me for saying that.
Fine, I'm already swore. We've gone past that point, man.
Yeah. they fill their head full of everything that could happen.
Yes.
So now what they need to do is simplify it and say, right, what way is the market going on my buyer time frame? This is how I'm going to get into it.
Yeah.
Bang, 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 bang. That's all you need to do.
Yeah, I think so. I think, like you said it, in one of the mentorship days we ran, I think we had about 30 people in this mentorship day, and they kind of looked at us like we're crazy, because you said your kind of awesome, foursome, your bias thing, and you were like, whatever strategy you pick after you've done that, right, you're probably going to get 50% of your trades right.
What I actually said is, you can go on, if you've got my setup entry,
yeah,
I use the daily, the 1 hour and the 5 minutes.
Yeah.
You've got a setup on the daily and a setup on the hourly that is in the same direction. You can go in on the wrong direction on the 5 minutes. And if you put your stop in the right place, you're still probably going to win that trade.
Yeah, it's true.
It's true. We're going back test it. Ocean, going back test it.
Yeah.
because if it's going the wrong way, it's basically one of our out of sync strategies. And they've just, market will generally turn.
Yeah, I agree with that. And
I think we all overthink it.
Yeah, I think so too. So, but then, like, actually, every single one of the issues that we all spoke about today were psychological issues on trusting your edge, really, your strategy, your edge.
Yes.
So I think every, like, I think if anybody takes anything from this, it's just that the human side of things actually take away the number side of things, don't they, a little bit? So no, it's really interesting, because obviously being all different personality types, we came at this, all four of us came at this at different angles, you know, and to finally crack it. And also I think on our within our community, we've had everyone from every different type of walk of life there is. Like, obviously I've got a sports background, Ocean's music, yours was professionals in sales, wasn't it, James, and Mayan's in medical. So like, we're all pretty different as well between us. And you know, that it also means we're just going to encounter different problems, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think, all right. So I think it's probably a good place to leave it there. I think this will be a good podcast for people to listen to or watch on YouTube. I think for the rest of this year then, so for 2023, you know, because we're still early on in the year, James, what would you say that you're trying to work on yourself or with your students?
I'm trying to work on myself. I'm trying to work on, honestly, leaving my swing trades alone, because that's the hardest thing for me, leaving my swing trades alone. My day trades, leaving them alone, don't care what it is. My swing trades, I always play. And you always get to the point where you're in a swing trade and there's, I don't know, X amount in it. And you've had a really bad day and you think, oh, bugger it, I'm having the rest of the day off, I'm taking that. And that is the worst thing in the world to do.
You should not do that.
You should just leave that day, because you're not hurting yourself once, you're hurting yourself twice. So I've got to learn, I've got to work on myself staying in swing trades a little longer. Yeah, for my students are doing quite well. To them, I mean, we've had a couple of given up their full-time job and become full-time traders.
Yeah, it's quality.
Psychologically, for the first 3 months, it's destroying, because suddenly you need to earn the money. They just need to switch the money off, and it's harder said than done, but they need to turn the money off and not think about it. Just stick to their plan.
That's good.
My plan is... yeah, stick to my swing trades a little more.
Yeah, no, good. Oshin, what about you, 2023?
Yeah, I think it's embracing this sort of like slower side of trading. So I enjoy swing trading, but I've had the opposite problem. I tend to fuss more about my day trades, but my swing trades, I can leave them for like as long as I need. So it's embracing like the in-between periods. I'm going to carry on doing that and exploring that, I think.
Yeah, that's interesting. I'm with you. I have the same problem with my day trades. So, you know, I moved to my day trades being 4 hour, 15 minute, because if I set the trades up in the first 2 hours of the day, I can come back at 6 o'clock in the evening and see how they've gone. So it's a bit like a swing version of a day trade. So that's
all you two are saying is you're lazy.
Yeah,
that's what you're saying. That's what I'm taking out of this.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Great work, boss.
Yeah, I think you're right. Mayan, what about you?
Yes, I want to be more of a trading machine to automate my trading the more, so that I personality part of me has no chance to, you know, second guess and question and so on. I just want to be a trading machine, that's all. And I want to move my day trading from 6 to 5 to back to 4 hours and 15, actually, because I find that a bit more relaxing for me than the 6 to 5. Nothing wrong with the 6 to 5, but I want to stick with the 4 hour and 15 this year. That is what I want to do this year.
So what distracts you, Mayan? Like, I know my answers, but what distracts you? Because I'm similar. I'm an I personality.
You mean with the 5?
No, yeah, like what do you find distracting about the smaller time frame?
Right, it moves a bit quick for me.
Yeah,
and I run after things that are not relevant, things that don't really matter. It's just when the trade has more time to evolve, like over 15 minutes, I think I can see the I can see what I need to see. Yeah. Rather than seeing irrelevant things, when it moves quite quick on the 5 minutes, you know, I get distracted but the 15 is a bit slower. I think I get distracted with the activity.
I mean I do as well. I think like when I'm trading like a 60 minute versus a 5 minute strategy, I think like there's so much noise, like there's noise coming from everywhere, like the news, the economic data points, you know, in our live chat, you know, just our chat in general between the coaches, there's just noise coming from everywhere. And I look at the trades and I think that there's more variables on a shorter term period that could go wrong for me. You know what I mean? So when I'm in profit, I'm thinking, well, I finally worked to get into this profit. There's actually more that can go wrong in this time frame than they can in any other time frame. And I don't think I've given it enough chance over 20, 40 trades to see whether that's actually right or wrong. I don't think I've done it for a very long time. So it's probably something I should try.
I look at it the other way. I look at it as more chance to add to my trades, add to my winners. But I only do, let's face it, I trade for maybe 2 hours a day and I don't do anything else.
It's a struggle to get you to do any work as well, isn't it? After those 2 hours.
Try not to, but you know. But yeah, and then for the rest of the day, I'll teach or whatever. And I'll be looking at the screens.
Yeah.
I won't be looking at my trades. I couldn't give a monkey's about my trades.
Yeah, definitely. I think.
If you're looking at, if you're not used to trading the 5 minute chart and you're on the 5 minute chart and it's just going up and down and up and down and up and down sideways and then up a bit and then down a bit, it will fake you out. He'll fake you out the market. You'll want to automatically come up with that trade.
Yeah.
So do you sit there and watch it though?
No.
You don't.
Okay. Why would I? I watch it when I'm trying to add to positions.
Yeah.
Wait for a pullback to get in for a second or third or fourth position.
Yeah.
But my bias is on my daily.
Oh, cool.
Really, my trade is daily to 1 hour.
Mm.
Just trying to get a better entry. That's it.
Yeah, no, that's good. That is good. I think student-wise this year or coming up this year, obviously we've got a lot more students as well coming through January. Yeah. I think when we have the live chat sessions, I think there are a lot of people that say that, you know, I'm new, like how long will it take me to get this concept, or I'm new, like when, how long? I think, you know, starting the sessions with a bit of a briefing, because I think the temptation for everyone is to come to live trading room before completing the coursework, right? Completing all the lessons. That's obviously not going to help anyone, is it?
It worries me that people will try and follow you into the trade.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll be talking about a trade and I would have been in and out of it. And that's the danger. Talk about, I don't know, DAX going long or going short in the morning, and sometimes you could already be in it. I mean, I start trading before live trading room. When I'm personally doing live trading room, I don't trade.
Oh, okay. I trade during live trading room.
Yeah, no, I don't. I try and teach when I'm in live trading room. So, but that's not saying I'm not already in trades.
Yeah, that's
just what I'm looking for. I'm looking for, where's the market going to go for the day.
Mm.
And I don't care about the 15 minutes or 30 minutes or 45 minutes over the open.
Yeah.
I really don't care about that. The market will do what it wants to do.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, how am I going to get in this trade to take it to my target?
Oh, cool. That's quite nice. That's good to know. Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah. No, that's interesting. All right. So, I think we've got the retreat coming up as well, in Lisbon. I think I think a lot of people saw on the last one how much we don't hesitate when we trade. You know, I think, like, especially like knowing you guys as well, I think if the stars align and that's your rules, you know, there's nothing else to do, is there really? I think Sean won't mind me telling this story, you know, bless you. he was talking about a trade, and I was looking at this trade. I was sitting next to him. I was looking at this trade. I was thinking, bloody hell, that's good. Like, and by the time he finished explaining it, I bought it, made some money and came out. By the time he even finished talking about it.
Yeah.
You know? And we all know he can talk. So, yeah. So like, you know, little things like that, I think that where the rules kind of come from. So yeah, we've got a lot of new students. So it will be interesting this year. We'll, you know, the community is obviously growing. So that would be quite nice to see. But, you know, in terms of any last comments, James, you know, for anybody listening, do you have anything you want
to
say?
No, just stick to your plan. Make a plan and stick to it. your trading plan will evolve as you evolve, but you need some sort of basic plan and just honestly rigid with the rules.
Good. Oshin, what about you?
Backtest. Oh, there we go. And also, we've got a video on backtesting coming on YouTube soon, so keep an eye out for that as well.
Nice. That would be good. That's a good one. Now you've been talking about it, everybody can go back and have a look. What about you, man?
Stick to your rules. Be rigid. Be like a machine. Stick to your rules. Don't deviate.
Yeah, cool. Like, I'm going to add to what you two have said there, because I think the market's going to do what the market wants to do. Yeah. Right. So the market is flexible, but your rules are rigid, right? Mm. So when it comes to expectation of what you're going to get out of the market, right, we don't know what it's going to give us from day to day, week to week, month to month.
Right.
Even if we're following our rules correctly, we don't know how much profit it's going to give us. But what we will know is over time that will flatten out and that will average out. Yeah. Yeah? So I think anybody listening, like 1 month or 1 week, if you're a day trader, your system by trading it the same way could earn you thousands, and the next week could only earn you 500, and then the next week it could bring you back into thousands again. I would always think on the term of averaging, of long-term averaging, like you would with your back testing, because I think that's a common thing. People get down a little bit if they made like $2,000 last week and they've only made 300 quid this week. They feel down about it, and I'm like, yeah. Well, you can't do anything about that. You followed your process. If the trades aren't there, they're not there, you know? So people have such rigid expectations, you know, of how much they want to take from the market. But the market does what it does, like Mayan said earlier. It's its own entity, you know? So, yeah. All right, well, thanks a lot, guys. I think this will go a long way for a lot of people, and I think they'll really enjoy listening to it. So thanks for that, and I'll see you guys, obviously, very soon.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning into the podcast. If you'd like any more information, please visit tradingcollege.co.uk. We have lots going on there. We have loads of free events and lots of places for you to look for any information you could possibly need about your trading journey.